So, all right. Well, YouTube is live. We'll get started here in just a minute.
Light the fires, kick the tires. Let's go.
Let's get it.
Okay. Everybody ready?
Let's go.
Ready.
All right. Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from a fan's point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 92 for May 1st, 2018. On tonight's panel, we have Killer Frog Emeritus, Wes Phelan. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing well, Sean. Thank you for asking.
Anything new happening in your end of the world down in Georgetown?
I've started my third week of radiation today. So at the end of this week, I'll be halfway through the cycle. No problems. I'm getting ready to take my big pill here. No problems with that either. So, I feel guilty for feeling good because it's actually going pretty easily.
That is good to hear, man. Don't feel guilty about that at all.
No, sir.
I almost feel guilty.
There you go.
Well, we're all praying for you on that
one. Thank you, my friend.
We also have Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm good, man. How's everybody doing?
Doing great. See, you made it back from Vegas in one piece.
Safe and sound, back, ready to go. Fired up, man.
There you go.
Excellent.
A lot of good stuff happening in Vegas besides gambling.
Like what? Like what? Yeah.
Don't make me go on the game.
Is your wife listening?
No. You ain't about to trap me and fall for the banana peel pipe, buddy. Good try, though.
Okay. Pay for effort.
And we also have the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hi, everybody. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to
Hello,
you.
Hello, happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Yeah, this is my last full week of classes on campus, so I'm grading and destroying people's self-esteem at the same time.
Good for you.
It's all good.
Awesome.
And WC is driving back from, Ryan, was it Galveston that you said?
Sure he's
driving
was.
Back from,
was
yeah, Galveston. So he's not going to be on tonight, but we do have a special guest. Frog fans will remember him. He was the heart and soul of the TCU baseball team for the last several years. You know him as Scoug Beast. It's Evan Scoug. How you doing, Evan?
Good, thank you. How's everybody?
Good.
Well, good. You're here. Awesome.
Man, thanks for joining us tonight.
No, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be on. I'm glad everything worked out.
Yeah, you've had a bit of a, I would say, busy schedule lately.
Yeah, I mean, today is our one-off day of our month. Pretty much been going nonstop since February 20th. We just got back in from Lakewood, New Jersey, which is about a 10-hour bus ride last night. So got in at about 3 in the morning, slept till about 1 in the afternoon, and went to the grocery store today. So I'm glad.
Look at you, grocery store. It's all
the glamorous life of a pro baseball player.
Yeah.
So why don't you, for the fans who haven't quite been able to follow you as much as they'd like, explain the we part of this. Who is we as far as this is the first day off you've had in a month?
So with the Kannapolis Intimidators, it's a Class A affiliate of the White Sox. And so we as in my teammates and I, my roommates, right now sharing a three-bedroom unfurnished apartment with four other guys.
Do you guys have that wooden spool for a table thing going on?
No, actually, we don't have anything for a table. We have we used a cardboard box as a table. No chairs.
It's like back in college, right?
No chairs. Just we sit Indian style and we ride on the cardboard box.
Don't feel bad, Evan. I still use a cardboard box, but I wrap it in duct tape to make it look nice.
So you got was drafted in the 7th round by the White Sox, coming out of TCU, and then they didn't send you to the Kannapolis first. Where was the first place they sent you?
They sent me to Arizona, you know, to get evaluated, you know, just by the team doctors. I think get all the physicals done, and then spent 2 weeks in the Arizona League. With that club, and then got sent out to Kannapolis for the last 2 months of the season.
And how's Kannapolis treating you?
Kannapolis is good. You know, not my. You know, it's nothing like Fort Worth. we've got a bit of a drive to the ballpark every day, and not a whole lot of fans that come out. So it's a little different, but I'm enjoying it.
I think you said something was funny a minute ago before we went on the air. It is every night was dressed like a seat night for the fans. So yeah. You've got to.
Yeah, they are. We just got some new front office administration though, so I know they've been working hard to put a lot of people in the stands. So. The Intimidators have a new stadium coming in 2020, but hopefully that'll draw some more fans. But right now, it's pretty empty.
Pretty empty, huh? Now, they do special promotions a lot, though. I mean, I got to tell you, I love minor league ball because it's more fan-friendly. And you got guys like, I looked on their website, had Myron Noodleman or somebody like that, who's dresses kind of looks like Groucho Marx. Have you seen him? Got that big painted on mustache. Have you seen him from Shannon? I mean, he's a goofball, but all he does is walk through the crowd and entertain them. And it's kind of stuff like that's going on all the time in minor league ball. And I love that.
It is fun. There are some stops along the road where they do have quite a bit of, you know, fun promotion nights there. You know, I think the other night in Lakewood, it was Stranger Things night. I know that's a big series on Netflix right now, but I know.
Have you never seen Stranger Things?
No, I've never seen Stranger Things. Oh. I know I've got a lot of time, but I just, you know.
I was going to say, when do you have time to Netflix?
But I know on May 4th, we're doing, you know, May the 4th be with you for Star Wars theme night.
Oh, awesome.
Now you've seen Star Wars, right?
Of course. That's one of my favorites.
Just checking.
Yeah.
But have you seen the original Star Wars? You're kind of young. You may have missed it.
No, I've seen all of them. Okay, I don't know. I'm a big Star Wars nerd. I'm a big Star Wars nerd.
Good to know.
So are the players encouraged to dress up as Star Wars characters, or are you just got your regular uniforms on?
Actually, no. We get we'll have some Yoda uniforms.
I love it.
Awesome. They're actually on the Kannapolis Intimidators. They tweeted them today. So if you want a sneak peek, you'll have to go take a look.
Oh, I'm going to go check that out. What is the Twitter address for the Kannapolis Intimidators?
I think it's just at Kannapolis Intimidators.
Let's find out.
I'm checking that out.
Oh, I'll go ahead and look right now. It's at Intimidators.
At Intimidators.
With the capital I.
Got it. All right. So I'm curious, why Yoda? I mean, of all the Star Wars characters, was this like a team vote? Did you guys want to do Yoda, or was this a front office pick?
I think it's a front office pick. We usually never get to pick the theme of our jersey. but I think I saw it today, and I thought it was pretty cool. And I know we're doing like a Latino appreciation, you know, jersey where it's Los Rapidos. I'm excited for that one because it's all – we're red and black, but this one will be all orange, all bright orange and blue. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Here we go. Yeah, I was going to say, wait, I couldn't find the Yoda jersey, but it's right underneath the GIF of Justin Timberlake. So
– Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
what poor, unfortunate team gets the Ewoks?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I can't make it out. Wow. They when you said Yoda jersey, I was just thinking like they were going to be green, maybe make you guys wear some ears, but they like full on did a whole photo of Yoda's face on the front of the jersey.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited for that, honestly.
You got a keeper here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least the Han Solo jersey looks like you're actually dressed up like Han Solo with the whole vest and the shirt thing. And you even got the little belt thing going on then.
We had to do a new school Nickelodeon day earlier for one of our kids days. And that was, I had never heard of it, but we dressed up just like the main character. Our uniform was exactly like the main character. So they do a lot of fun things to keep everybody into it.
That's the beauty of minor league ball. Just they really reach out to the fans or try to and make them all do things that are interesting to them and make it fun for everybody to come to the game.
For sure.
Evan, who are you rooming with and where are they from? Did you know any of them beforehand?
Yeah, actually, I'm rooming I knew two of them beforehand. One of them is Tyler Johnson, the closer from South Carolina. I played with him in the U.S. national team summer. So we got to go overseas together. We knew each other pretty well. I'm playing with the infielder from Ole Miss. His name's Tate Blackman. We played together after my freshman year in the Cape. And then I'm rooming with Tyler Frost, an outfielder from Gonzaga. I actually stayed with his family this spring training, but he's a great guy. He came down to the Fort Worth twice and, you know, lost twice, so I give him crap about it all the time.
Of course.
Yeah. Close to.
That's awesome.
And then a pitcher from another pitcher from Wichita State.
Very cool.
That's neat. So let me ask you, you're now in a wooden bat league. You have any trouble adjusting to the wooden bat?
No, I think I like the wooden bats. I've always liked the wooden bats. They get expensive, you know.
Oh yeah.
You got to be really careful, you know. If you break one, you got to have to go to the clubhouse managers have the, you know, the mass produced bats. So if you break a couple in a row, you start to gravitate towards the mass produced bats to save on your nice ones.
So do you have some Evan Skaug model bats? Maybe your specifications, or
I don't have my own model yet. Hopefully that's something for the future. But I do custom order bats with, you know, the colors that I prefer, my name on it, and the certain length and weight that I like.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah. So luckily, you know, he's got some equipment money for me. But
there you go.
Not like equipment room.
You should probably pit those specifications on Killer Frogs, and when Christmas comes up or your birthday, we'll make sure people put together a gift package of bats.
Quite amazing, yeah.
So is there an Amazon wish list for custom-made baseball bats?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing is just like the groceries are. That's the big Amazon wish list, because I spend more money on groceries than I do anything else.
Yeah, welcome to the real world, pal.
Right.
I know.
Right.
No more. No meal card. Cards, right.
Right. No more carb money. No more per diem. Hey, no more per diem.
You're a working man now. Oh my gosh.
Have so, you seen Evan, the have you taken out yet? Oh, that's taxes. Always fun.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about taxes.
No.
let's keep this, you know, still too friendly fresh. And right.
No. So, Evan, have you finally discovered the joy of ramen noodles?
No, I haven't stooped that low yet.
No. Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah, that's good, man.
Wait, keep your standard high. That's good.
Whoa. I bought a case today, so try it. Brother, listen to me. Some hot water with butter and hot sauce. I'm telling you.
So good.
Still to this day.
At our last trip in the clubhouse, you know, the big thing was the cup of noodles. That was a big pregame meal for a lot of guys, because that was pretty much all that's out there.
Well, now the
talk about now or back when you were at TCU?
Oh, now.
Instant energy.
Some of these clubhouse spreads are just very interesting, and we got to pay quite a bit of money for those spreads. So, I think my favorite is the McDonald's breakfast sandwiches that are cold. For the 10:30 a.m. games.
Wow. Oh, man. So different. I was going to ask you, like, you know, what the difference was, what some of the major differences were between playing at TCU and what you're doing now. But I think we're hearing about a few right now.
the big thing is, you know, getting sick and tired. At TCU, you get sick and tired of steak dinners for a night game. And now you're sick and tired of deli meat sandwiches.
Roughing it at its finest.
I'm telling you. Now, have you made the adjustment from Texas barbecue to Carolina barbecue yet?
I've been trying, but it's I don't get out much to go explore and get some good Carolina barbecue. But I do like the Carolina Gold sauce. I will admit that. That's good stuff.
And we'll forgive you. Okay.
It's all good.
It's all good. Well, now, Evan, I'd ask you a question before we went on the air, but who the toughest pitcher you faced at TCU, or the toughest one for you to catch? And you had an interesting answer. I could have come up with a couple other guys I would have thought had been tougher, but your answer was Riley Farrell.
Yeah, well, it's always – when he comes on the mound, it's always high-pressure situations, and that makes my job hard too, because, you know, if I let something go behind me or get behind me, you know, the run could score, we could tie a game, or we could lose a game. So, you know, that's easy. You know, it's not hard. It's not, you know, that's not super difficult when, you know, a guy's throwing 90, 92. But when Farrell's throwing 96, 98 with, you know, 90-mile-an-hour slider, it makes my job a little tougher. And
yeah, I'll bet it does.
I've never seen anything like that in college or in high school. And so when I got to college, you know, I got a rude awakening, you know, having to catch him. So, but it was definitely good for me because, you know, I got to learn how to handle that, you know, my first year there.
Well, I remember his junior year that you know, he had the nickname the Freight Train, and that ball was coming at you 96, 97, sometimes 98 it hit, and it was just it was a sight to behold, and he just come here and mow those guys down. And then follow that with Durbin Feltman, who throws just about as hard, and I don't know if his stuff moves around as much as Riley's does, but it looks pretty potent.
Those guys are pretty good. That's why they have that, you know, that gaudy save record right now.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Let me ask you this, Evan. When you were catching for Farrell, and he had that point in the season where he was struggling a bit, was there anything that you could do to calm him down, or was it just like he's just got to work through it?
Well, I left most of the calming down to Coach Sarlos because he knew him a lot better than I did, and I didn't want to be that, you know, that freshman that, you know, walked out there and started telling this All-American how to handle his business. So, and to be quite honest, he scared me a little bit. you know, we're good friends now, but he scared me a little bit freshman year. So I kind of just, you know, I kind of kept my mouth shut and let him do his thing. I didn't really know how to handle him too well my freshman year.
Yeah, that freshman year, how what was that like? I mean, you took over for, you know, Bachok left us, and then you came in, and Bachok was kind of the backbone of that team as well, at least a leader on the diamond. What was that like inserting yourself into that particular situation, and, you know, you have a reset with the catcher who's really needs to kind of grow into that field general type of player? What was that like your freshman year at TCU?
Well, I think my freshman year was pretty easy to insert because we had eight seniors that year that, you know, had been there for several years and who really embodied what, you know, Coach Losh, you know, is trying to the culture he's creating over there. So they really embodied that. So I really just had to show up, do my work, and just buy into the system. And you know, those guys were the ones that were the, you know, the major backbone of the team. They did all, you know, they were the leaders. You know, they did all the hard stuff, and I just had to follow their footsteps. So that freshman year was just a big learning curve for me, and mostly was just, you know, picking up everything those guys were putting down and soaking everything up.
Yeah.
Usually when you come into a situation like that with so many seniors, the situation could be rather intimidating for a young player, especially for a catcher. What was it like with playing with those guys? What was the mentality and what was the clubhouse like?
I mean, those guys pretty much, you know, a lot of them knew that it was going to be their last year of playing baseball. So they wanted to win. And so instead of being, you know, very standoffish and, you know, kind of, you know, I guess, lack of a better term, hazing the younger guys, they really, you know, welcomed us in with open arms and were like, okay, the quicker we get you guys to learn the system and the culture, the quicker we're going to be able to succeed and win games. So they were just a bunch of fantastic guys who just accepted us and pretty much welcomed us into the program with open arms.
Mm. So having left TCU now, I mean, you know, you had to replace six starters, basically catcher, second baseman, your entire infield except the first baseman, and then center fielder and a right fielder. So who do you see right now as the leaders on the TCU team? Do you think has anybody stepped up to accept that Evan Skaug leadership role, or is he that role out there still waiting for somebody to be the next man up to grab it?
I think there's a good core of older guys. I know, like Michael Lanistoy, Janzak, Juan Honan, you know, even Baker and Watson. Those guys are you know, guys that, you know, have everything that they need to be the leaders and are good leaders at that. You know, sometimes, you know, just, you know, the game of baseball is a funny thing where, you know, you can be doing everything right and doing everything 100% and just not have everything roll your way. So yeah, I know that it's been a difficult season as far as, you know, results, but, you know, all it takes is the boys to get hot in the last couple months and go on a tear and be right back in Omaha. So,
well, they got on a tear this weekend as they tore Tekla Newman. So
that's a great start. That's one of the, it's all it takes. And then you get a little confidence roll and the younger guys start to feel good about themselves.
Yep.
Start playing as a unit.
I got to tell you, Eisler, that was impressive. I mean, what he did this weekend, oh my gosh, that was amazing. And it bodes well for the future. Absolutely bodes well. And that next year, I think, you know, we're a little bit of a down year. It's going to happen from time to time. But as I look at this team going forward next year, I think they're going to be, once again, a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even counting the guys out right now.
Right.
Yeah, these guys, I mean, they've got the talent. It's just, you know, not everything has been clicking together as good as it can be. So
I think Schlossbaum made a comment and said it looked like somebody drove a bus through our bullpen. So, you know, you've got some injuries out there, and but you know, there's still a lot of talent. He loads that team up with arms and he builds it towards tournament baseball. And you know, these guys will be there once again.
Yeah, he always has his teams ready to go come tournament time.
Yeah.
Now, Evan, you've been real busy on the road a lot. How much have you been able to kind of get back and either watch some of the TCU games or follow it, or how much have you been in contact with some of your past teammates?
For sure, I've been. You know, I haven't gotten the opportunity to watch a whole lot because being on East Coast time, our games are at 7:05, so by the time we finish, you know, the boys are finished. But I'm keeping up every day on Twitter, you know, watching highlights, scrolling through, checking out how guys are doing. I recently spoke with Janzak and reached out to to big Luke and Baker after his injury. But I speak to guys every now and then. I talked to Jake Eisler today. So I reach out a little bit when I can.
What'd you say to Jake?
I just said I was proud of him for setting Tech down, and you know, I heard how good he did, and heard that he shut it down, you know, shut the 15 batters down, but I didn't realize that he had 11 strikeouts of those 15. So when I saw the picture come out today from TCU Baseball, I sent him a picture, and I was like, wow, wowee, like that.
That's impressive in any by any standard in any league. That's just amazing what he did.
Absolutely.
That's Preston Morrison numbers right there.
Yeah. Well, he didn't go 10 innings though. So that's
that's true. So let me ask you this: what was the toughest opponent while you were at TCU to play against?
Well, I think obviously it was those two national championship teams that we lost to in Omaha, but I also think that Oklahoma State for the first 2 years, they had our number, and I mean, we didn't win a series against them. Luckily we swept them, or not luckily, but we swept them my junior year. But those first 2 years, they really just had our number, and they were really tough to play against. So I think Oklahoma State was always one of the tougher ones.
I was so afraid he was going to say Baylor, and I just would hate to hear that.
Speaking about a team who got our number this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It happens.
It does.
The one game I get out to see him, it's Baylor, and we get
– I know. I thought about that, Wes. Thanks.
That's okay. We just banned Wes from going to any more baseball games.
You broke my heart.
It is all good.
Hey, I've got a question. Oh, sorry, Sean.
No, go right ahead, Ryan.
Evan, I was lucky enough. I was at the FCA banquet several years back where you won and the award. And so talk to us a little bit about your faith while you were at TCU and then how it may carry you through now that you're out of TCU.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely grew a lot at school. Mitchell Traver was like my big brother. He kind of walked me through just about everything. And I dedicated my life to Christ at school and, was rebaptized at school.
Awesome.
What year was that?
It was my sophomore year, so 2016. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a great foundation for everything, you know. I wouldn't have expected any, like, couldn't have planned any of the stuff that happened at TCU any better. And it's a testament to show that everything happens for a reason and everything is supposed to happen. You know, I came to school, you know, met my beautiful girlfriend, went to 3 College World Series, you know, got 3 years of amazing education under the way. And then ended up leaving, you know, to play professional baseball. And it's just, if you look back on that and you just say, wow, like, it's definitely something that I could not have done alone. And, right now it's tough to get, you know, it's tough to get into church and tough to get, into a community. But, I've been listening to some sermons online from a church in Dallas. Going to chapels on Sundays that, you know, the minor league baseball provides. And so, I mean, definitely faith is a huge thing because without faith in minor league baseball, you can get lost. You can get, you know, you can feel alone, just overwhelmed at times. But, you know, with the faith, it allows you to just relax and realize that, you know, you're playing a kid's game, you know, for a living. And every night you step out into the ballpark, you can touch someone and use your platform to do good. So that's what, you know, it means to me right now. So
well said, my
awesome
friend.
Awesome word.
I know you were my favorite player by far, and then and all the kids still talk about you even though you're not around anymore. But I do know you come back, and I may get this wrong, but you go up to D-Bats and you do short camps with the kids. So, and or where is it?
This offseason I came back because my girlfriend lives in Dallas. You know, the facilities that are at our disposal, you know, the fact that Coach Schloss lets us come back and use the field, use the hitting facilities, get back into the weight room with Zach Dakin. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I was actually, for a little while there, I was doing lessons with Jansen Whitty, a former Frog as well. And so we were doing camps at a local facility, and we did one at DBAT. So it was a lot of fun. It's a great way to, you know, to make some money that, you know, cause you don't get paid in the off season, but it's also, I think my favorite part is just being able to work with the kids and see how happy they are and to see them grow as baseball players.
Well, I have a funny story. I want to see if you remember it. So, I'm not putting you on the spot, but so at one of your camps, one of our friends, Rima Roan, her grandson is Braden. And so you were helping him catch cause he catches. And then they were hitting as well. And I guess he made a joke and came up to you and said that you had, because you used his bat to hit, and it was, you know, you're a great. He came up to you and said that you had dented his bat. Do you remember that? And you were like, "I'm so sorry. I will buy you a new one."
I was like, "Oh no!" I'm like, that's the last thing I want to do because I know how picky I am about my bats. And I was like, "Well, if I did dent it, I'll buy you a new one."
And then he was just like, "I'm pulling your leg, man. I'm just kidding."
I pulled my leg too.
Yeah, he did. He didn't realize what you go through with your own bats. Now he will. Yep, all those kids still talk about it today. So you're doing a great thing when you get to come back and do that for the young ones.
That makes me realize I'm doing the right thing and that everything's, you know, going well. So.
Yeah, you do the right thing, Evan, and I think you're a great guy. And I said this to you off the air, and I'll say it on the air for everybody.
You were one. I've seen a lot of TCU baseball games over my years. I think my first one was in like 1956. So I've seen quite a few.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, watch it now. Watch it.
Less exaggerating.
But, you know, the one thing that makes it fun for me as a fan, and I think for anybody, is watch a guy who actually truly enjoys what he's doing out there. And I get that from you every time you step foot on the field. You love the game. You respect the game. You play it to its fullest. And you're out there to take advantage of it because you love it and you're living it. And that watching guys like you makes it fun for guys like me.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You are very welcome.
Hey, Evan, did you see the news today that came out where we're going to have a pilot program for beer the last several home games? Did you see
I think it's going to be great. I mean, the stands are going to be packed, even more packed than normal. But
I know. Wow. It's like beer, baseball, and hot dogs. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Not the dugout now. Come on, not the dugout.
That's true. But in the stands.
Can we stop for a moment and just – acknowledge the irony of us introducing beer in the first game against Dallas Baptist. I don't know if Donati planned for it that way on specifically, or just happened that the beer got delivered on that day. I don't know what it was, but really marketing move.
Oh, Donati. Get your $8 ready and shut up and go have a beer.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's totally right.
For Coors Light. We'll make a little.
Yeah.
No, aren't they supposed to have some craft beers too?
They should have Rahr and Martin House Brewing at every single game.
I think they're going to. They're going to have the local breweries there. You know what, though? I wonder if they'll have Sindhome. Evan, do you know if they have Sindhome at the concession stands at baseball games for the students?
That's a great question.
I'm hoping they don't because.
Sindhome. Yeah, they do have Sindhome because there was plenty. Plenty of football games where I sent home a lot of food and a lot of.
Yeah,
I do have sent home. I'll let you know that. Yeah,
I know your parents appreciated that.
I sent home a lot of food.
Yeah, exactly. And probably parking tickets too. I sent home a lot of those back in the day.
Actually, I had at school. I had a moped, and so I would. I never registered it with school, and I would just drive it around. Park it in the bike racks and never have any problems. And then when I got my truck my sophomore year, I never registered that either because I was like, I drive my moped to class, so I don't need a parking pass.
Wait, you drove a moped to class?
That's awesome. Yeah.
It went just around town. You just drove it to class.
Yeah, I drive it to class. And I mean, I did get like two or three tickets on my truck, but because I never had it registered, I never paid them.
That's college life, man.
Yeah. I'll tell you a secret. When I was a freshman, I showed up in 1969 to TCU driving a 1949 Dodge Coronet. So, you know, I was really a cool guy back
then.
What
color was it?
Oh, it was jet black, built like a tank, you know, and it was, it'd go about 40 miles an hour. But that was my car. And my parents got it as a wedding present and gave it to me when I was driving age. Anyway, so I show up at TCU. Everybody's, you know what kind of cars you're driven around campus. And I'm in a 1949 Dodge. But I didn't care. But I noticed these signs people put in their cars, like if they're parking behind Sadler, that said official car of Texas Christian University. They put it in their windshield. Cops would never bother them. So, well, Go West here, being the creative kind of guy I am, I went up to the sign shop in the theater department, and I printed off a couple of those signs, official car of Texas Christian University, put it that in the windows of that 1949 Dodge, and I parked right behind Sadler Hall, any place I wanted to park on campus. Nobody ever bothered me. Now you think they come out and see that old junker I drove and said, oh, there's no way that's an official car. But, you know, nobody bothered me. It was hilarious. I ended up making a few extra for friends and selling them. So,
See? College life.
See? College life. There's money to be made, my friend.
All right.
Evan's over there eating steak during his college years, and Wes is over there forging parking signs.
I'm driving a 1949 Dodge with the jack-in-the-box taco wrappers all over the floor. So, you know, it was great.
Wes, what are we going to do with you?
I don't know. Make my head explode.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is that a lot of the current students who are listening to this are like, you can park behind Sadler? When was this?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Sean, remember having to park out in ranch management? You couldn't even drive up to it'd be 110 degrees and you'd have like 8 bags of groceries as you're trekking across campus dying. You'd have to set them down and rest and then pick them back up and continue walking.
It reminded me of that scene in Spaceballs where they landed on the desert planet and they're carrying the luggage across. Sorry, that was probably a really bad reference there, but yeah, it kind of reminded me of the same thing.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Well, Evan, let me, if you don't mind, let me move on to another subject here real quick. Because this is kind of near and dear to my heart. I know it is your too, is little Micah Ahern. You had a very special relationship with him. You want to talk about that a little bit with us?
Well, I mean, I've never experienced somebody who was able to walk into a room and captivate the whole room like he did. He would walk in and everybody would be glued to him, smiling, no matter what happened in their day, it was automatically a good day when he showed up to the ballpark. So I got to know him pretty well. And, you know, every time that we went over to visit him and, you know, in the hospital, you know, I would always be there, always be doing the Nerf wars, always be, you know, with the group of guys that was there. And
Nerf wars, you glossed over that real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Explain the Nerf wars.
Basically, it was Micah and his select team against the other guys, and he would always win. And you know, Micah would always have like 4 or 5 guns, and he would always, you know, he'd always be chasing you down and shooting you and getting you like pretty good. And every time he hits you, he'd start laughing. And, you know, guys would be really good at selling like how they got hit and where they got hit. And it was a lot of fun. We made a lot of fun of those little Nerf guns.
Yeah. Which one of your teammates had the best death scene?
I can't remember, but you know, anytime I got to go with this, I just got to go with Howard. Howard has probably filled that role.
Well, he was. I love some of the stories Schloss told about him. About, I guess he just had the run of the dugout.
Yeah, he could do whatever he wanted. He could get, you know,
eat all the snacks. But I remember
snacks, you know, Schloss would always make fun of me for eating all the snacks. But, you know, when Micah would come in, he'd roll out extra snacks for him. So
I remember Schloss telling a story once when he's gross in the game and he's trying to get players positioned. And he looked down and Micah's helping position players out there. But he'd be involved in the game. And all of a sudden he'd feel somebody tug on the back of his jersey and he'd look down and Micah'd say, "Hey, Buckethead." And and he said it always just kind of brought it into perspective for him. And that little kid, I tell you what, you're right about capturing the minds and hearts of TCU fans and really of the nation. And his story was a compelling one. And the outcome is not what y'all wanted to hear, but you know, he fought a brave battle and he's an inspiration to all of us. So,
absolutely.
God bless him and God bless you for being his buddy.
Yeah, no, it's God bless me with him. You know, like I had, you know, there was nothing, you know, I learned so much in the times that I was with him. You know, I'm thankful that I had him. You know?
Yeah, well, that's a great way to put it. I think he gives strength. And as I'm going through my battle right now, I think of him a lot. And if you remembered his funeral, were you at his funeral?
I was not able to be.
Okay, well, what you probably saw it, though, the pile of beads out there that were in the foyer that represented – each bead represented a procedure or an infusion that he'd had. Mm-hmm. And the bead was – I mean, the stack was like that. And it just – you know, my stack is like this. It's not big, and I'm not struggling very hard with what I'm doing right now. It's been pretty easy. I tolerate it pretty well. But what that boy went through with his battle is just absolutely amazing and did it with a smile on his face. And I get grumpy because I get tired real easily, but it really does serve as an inspiration to anybody that goes through this type of thing. You can, you know, don't let it own you. Conquer it and own it and move on. And he certainly did.
Absolutely. Right.
Evan, how Micah might have been the smallest frog, but he was certainly the biggest in heart.
Oh my God.
And you were by far the biggest heart of this TCU team for the time that you were on the field for us. What was it like, your relationship with Evan? How did that shape how you viewed playing baseball? Because earlier you said something that was very profound. You said you're playing a kid's game for money. Did you start off college thinking that way, or did somewhere along the way your journey at TCU help shape you into the man you are today to think that way?
I mean, I definitely, my journey has shaped me into being a different person. You know, I definitely, you know, when you come out of high school and you come into college, you know, especially into a big college, you know, there's a lot of egos present. And, you know, I did, you know, I had, you know, the freshman, you know, coming in, looking to take over the team by storm. But I think my perspective has changed and more so the way that just put others first and to, you know, to really enjoy the game, because, you know, the game can be over and, you know, in the snap of a finger, let alone, you know, life can be over in a snap of a finger. So I think I really just tried to enjoy things more. And, you know, as the years flew by, I was like, wow, this is going fast. And, you know, I look up and, you know, leaving school and go into a, you know, foreign world. So I think that, you know, just having fun with it, you know, especially, you know, I had a lot of struggles in my junior year at school, you know, on the field, striking out so much and just had a rough couple months. But I think that's when it's just, you know, right now I'm not doing so hot either, but the more that you can have fun with it, invest in other people, you know, try to, you know, it is a team game. So, you know, winning is a lot of fun, even if you don't do well. But, you know, just if you get stuck on, you get stuck on the fact that, you know, you're not doing well and you're in a bad place, then you're going to get sucked into a hole and not a whole lot of guys are going to come there to comfort you. So if you focus on, you know, investing in other guys and having fun with everything and having a positive outlook, that, you know, it makes a lot of things easier.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's positive outlook right there. Yeah. And that sounds like Coach Schlossman going one-on-one. That's the kind of stuff he sends me all the time. And it's just fantastic. Let me ask you this. Now, originally when the scouting reports came out on you, you were a catcher, of course, in high school or high school and college. And there was some talk in the White Sox scouting report that made you perhaps you projected more as a first baseman. Are they still looking at you as primarily a catcher? Or are they kind of working other positions in for you? Or how's that going?
I haven't taken a ground ball yet in my time in a White Sox, you know, affiliate or in a uniform. So, you know, I've been going as a catcher right now, and, you know, the scouting report has always been that I can't catch. So, but I'm still here. I'm still catching. So
that's right. You caught Riley Farrell. You said he was the toughest one. So,
so I mean, you know, if they do want to change me, that's fine. You know, if that gets me the big leagues, that's fine. But
sure.
Right now, I'm a catcher, and, you know, that's pretty much all they got me working on.
I'll tell you something. I'm surprised you said that. The scout report said that you're not a catcher, because one of the things my dad and I, we love to watch baseball. He was drafted by the Twins out of college, out of Riverside, and he was a catcher. And I grew up catching until my knees gave out on me. And one of the things we always loved watching was you behind the plate. Because if there was anybody on that team who epitomized being a dirtbag, man, it was you. You were probably one of the best catchers I've seen in college in a long time. And it was fun to watch you play. And it's still fun to watch you play, because I'm surprised that, you know, scouts say you can't catch, because you're a damn good catcher, man.
I mean, from the time I started getting looked at in high school to for the draft, it's, you know, the guy's got a big bat, and that's about it. So I've always worn that as a chip on my shoulder, and I've always, you know, I've been working extremely hard for the last several years to you know, improve my defensive skills, and so I think it's paying off. And, you know, I get a lot of positive feedback from guys in the White Sox organization that are, and that's their area. So it's reaffirming, but you know, I'm not where I want to be right now, but I'm feeling better than ever behind the plate.
Well, if you're comfortable behind the plate, I mean, you like Sean said, you truly epitomize, and this is not a derogatory term, a dirtbag player. Guy's not afraid to get his uniform dirty and get out there and play the game like it should be played.
That's the reason why the fans nicknamed you Pigpen.
but you know, it's I mean, first base, second base, wherever. I mean, you're playing the kids' game, and you're playing it for money, and that's more than most 99% of the people get to do, and that's fantastic. But I agree. I think you're a catcher first. I look at you, and I just see this guy got, you know, any mechanical problems can be worked out. I don't know what they are. We might be, but you know, your bats come around. Mechanics, just that's why they have coaches, and they develop you, and you'll be there, my friend. Just keep working at it.
Yep. So it's, you know, it's a long, long, slow grind. So
yes, it is. Yes, it is. Didn't Schloss have a movie attitude about the long, slow grind? I thought.
I'm sure he did.
Well, Evan, you know, we really appreciate you coming on tonight, and we love watching you play. You're like, Ryan said earlier, you were one of the fan favorites, and especially for this team over the last several years. And we really appreciate all you did for Horned Frog fans and while you're at TCU. But not only that, man, it was great hearing your story and getting to see that TCU did a lot for you too.
Oh, yeah.
On the flip side.
I mean, TCU was, you know, the one school that put all their faith in me and, you know, gave me, you know, 3 years of top-notch school, 3 years of unforgettable baseball, lifetime full of, you know, connections with alumni and teammates, and you know, and then I have a beautiful girlfriend that came from TCU as well, so I can't complain about everything that happened, you know, to me at TCU, and I would never change anything that ever happened, and I would choose to go to school 100 times out of 100 times again.
Excellent. Yes, sir. Well, I'll tell you one thing Schloss told me. You know, when you came in as a freshman, and I said, so who's going to bat cleanup for you this year? And he said, I think Evan Spalik. I said, the freshman? You're going to turn cleanup to a freshman? He goes, wait till you see him. and I liked what I saw. All of us liked what we saw. We want to see more of it.
Thank you. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be on television on the near future. So.
Yeah.
But you are our famous. You're our favorite Kannapolis Intimidator.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I actually, you know, one of my teammates is Nolan Brown. So.
Oh, there you go.
I know that. That's
on the Intimidators. So.
Okay, you're 1A. He's 1B. Then how about that?
We're rooting for you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Let us know when you get some furniture in your house too.
Well, I've got an air mattress. That's about all I need.
Oh my God,
air mattress! Wow.
Hey, you know they make duct tape in different colors now, so you can wrap that box and make it fit any kind of decor in your house you want. So. I
mean, you know, you think the air mattress isn't comfortable, but I've got an air mattress. It's a queen. It refills the air level every morning. For some reason, after we come back off an 8-day road trip, I've never missed an air mattress so much in my life. I'm sick of it. I just want my air mattress. I don't know why.
That's awesome.
When you're on the road, where do you guys stay normally?
It's usually the Clarion Inns.
Okay.
So you know, we're
just a step up from the Motel 6, right?
Yeah, and we've had a couple nice. Depends on the place, but you know, we've had a couple like comfort suites and. You know,
there you go. So, and you get free soap and shampoo in those places too.
That is true. That is,
and sometimes the towels don't feel like sandpaper.
But then you go to the clubhouse and they feel like sandpaper.
Oh man, I guess TCU probably with all their facilities and nice people. That's the one thing that TCU didn't prepare you for was
spoil you.
Oh, yeah, I got spoiled for 3 years.
Well, you'll just appreciate it when it comes around for you again. So,
absolutely. Well, Evan, thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate that. And with that, does anybody else want to talk? I know we. Do you want to stick around? Maybe we'll talk a little bit of the NFL draft. I know you haven't seen Stranger Things. Yeah, able to watch much baseball, but did you get to watch any of the draft?
I did watch the first round, and I was happy for a lot of those guys. You know, it's fun to see them. Fun to see everybody's hard work pay off.
But, well,
I wish I was able to shoot like that on draft night, but I wasn't able.
Well, speaking of the draft, guys, it was a great draft. It seems like if I'm not mistaken, all seniors went. We had three guys get drafted, and then we had 11 guys get in the camp free agent, which puts our total of about 114 guys in the NFL camp since Patterson's 17 seasons at TCU. And, man, that's awesome. I mean, that says a lot about the program. That says a lot about Coach Patterson. These guys, these recruits, and the NFL teams, they love getting good players, and TCU seems to be the place where they're coming to get them. And we're number one in the nation in developing talent in the NFL. So that's saying a lot. That's awesome. I mean, all guys got picked up. I mean, really, and there's a less than 1% chance. When you look at that, that's pretty freaking huge. And so as a fan, you should be proud. You should be really proud. That's hard to do, and it happened. So congratulations to all the guys who got picked up in the camps.
Now, Shannon, was the coach mean to any of those guys? Because, I mean,
Say it again?
Was Coach Patterson mean to any of those guys? I mean.
You know what? I thought about this. You know, I'm gonna leave it alone, but I did think about it. I was like, you know,
oh, come on, take a dig.
Something must be working.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, I guess last week I missed it, but Coach got the Walter Camp Award too. So that, I think y'all probably talked about that last week. But that's
Gene Stallings, you know, Award. Gene Stallings Award.
Oh, sorry, Gene Stallings. Who's Walt? Yeah, how did I come up with that?
Gene Stallings. They only give that to coaches who are mean to players, though.
Exactly.
Well, let me put it like this: out of 14 guys, I'm willing to bet my left pinky, someone, if not one or two guys, were hurt on this list, and they're now being inducted or drafted into the league, right? Let's see what happens after camps to see if anybody comes back and says, Coach Patterson ruined my opportunity to play at the next level because he rushed me back.
Well, let's go over that real quick, because we have a very interesting list here of players.
Yes, you do.
Talking about players who were injured during their time at TCU. And Evan, real quick, you know what we're all kind of beating around the bush about, right? Yeah, okay. We won't bring you into this because it's a football thing, not a baseball thing. But let's go over this list real quick. This is a very interesting list. So here are the 14 that Shannon was just alluding to. So Note Boom went third round to the Rams.
Yep.
Prior, sixth round to the Eagles. Howard, seventh round, also to the Rams. That was a really good pick, too. I'll be honest with you, I thought Howard would have gone a lot higher, but that's a good steal for the Rams. Bosun, so the rest of these guys signed on afterwards. Mm-hmm. They were undrafted, but they did sign on. So Bosun went to the Bills, Diarce to the Broncos, Hicks to the Chiefs.
Yep.
Kenny Hill went to the Raiders. They could use a quarterback.
Good pickup.
Yeah, very good pickup. Cole Hunt went to the Chargers. We have a tight end in the NFL.
With the Chargers, I'm talking about. So, I mean, you guys can learn from Gates. That lets you know Gates.
I know, right?
But that's awesome, right?
That's a good pedigree, right there.
Yep.
Let's see. We had Morris went to the Steelers, Orr went to the Bears, Schlottman went to the Broncos, Tejada went to the Redskins, Williams went to the Seahawks, and I'm missing one more. Grell went to the Dolphins. But out of that list, let's see. Morris, Schlottman, and Tejada are the top three that I would think of as far as injuries go.
Right.
At least long-lasting injuries, especially Tejada. So it's curious that we've had – not only we had 14 people that the NFL took, but three of those had some pretty serious injuries while they were at TCU, and yet they still managed to get into the NFL.
I wonder if that will come up in any kind of potential court trial somewhere down the line.
Oh, I'm sure it's circumstantial evidence, Wes.
Well, of course. I'll tell you. Well, I'm gonna leave it alone.
Hey, Evan,
I'm gonna keep it positive.
In any event,
get up in the morning, Evan. Do you have an early morning tomorrow?
No, we don't. We play at 7:05 pretty much every night. So
okay, I'm just make up. Sure. I'm sure you're exhausted from your day to day. So make sure we're not keeping you up.
Yeah. Okay. You know, the only times that we got to get up earlier for the 10:30 games. My dad usually gets mad at me because I sleep in until about 12 or 1 o'clock every day. So.
Okay. All right. Just
well, with the schedule you're keeping, I mean, my goodness.
Right.
Yeah. Get all the sleep you can get.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
So okay. I'm just curious, what is the brand of that air mattress? I mean, you're getting a lot of good use out of it.
Serta. Yeah.
Serta.
Serta Neverflat. Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. Flat.
Right. I like it.
That is very good. So right, real quick, Evan, at your time at TCU, how many of the football players did you get around to getting to know?
I mean, I got around to know quite a few of them. You know, I know quite a bit of, you know, the guys that got drafted and picked up. And I mean, we roomed together in Moncrief freshman year. You know, summer school guys. You know, get to know them. So I got to know quite a few of them and had some good relationships with a bunch.
Now, did you stay in the Creef 2 years, 1 year, and you move off the, you know, the Creef?
Oh, yeah.
The Creef. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I did the same, man. Stayed in one.
He did the show, and you got the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to stay there 1 year, get, you know, the Creef.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, I tell you what, other than the draft, Shannon, was there anything else you wanted to add to that? Now that Les is gone and he's not going to drag you back into the whole.
Yeah, listen, I'm proud of these guys. I mean, we get to watch preseason will not be so boring. The more guys we get in the lead, we get to watch these teams. And I mean, obviously I'm a Cowboy, but it's always good to look at who we're competing against and try to find a frog. And as you guys see, it's all kind of teams that we're on now. So, yeah, 45 players drafted with a total of 117. In camp, that's a lot of people, and so we're making our mark on the league. That says a lot about the program at TCU, and I'm just proud to see that because before it wasn't like that, and you know, I think again our era kind of took that off, and these guys haven't missed a beat ever since. And it's always good to have the TCU be the number one college in Texas that's putting in more NFL players than Texas and Baylor and all of them. So it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah. I tell you, the one guy I'm really happy for on this list, I'm happy for all of them. I mean, don't get me wrong, guys. You guys deserve it all. But Tejada, if you remember his freshman year, he had a rough freshman year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just like Verrett had a rough freshman year, and he battled back, came out back strong in the Peach Bowl. And then he went down to injury, and then he came back, and you didn't hear much of him his senior year, and that's a good thing for a cornerback. You don't want to hear his name called.
Right.
And, man, I am so happy that he got drafted. Unfortunately, as a lifelong Cowboy fan, man, the Redskins picked him
up. Yeah.
I know.
That's two of our guys.
And I'm sorry. I've had these Oklahoma people, okay, all of a sudden they're Cleveland fans. Let me just keep it 100% real with you. I love my Frogs. I'll support the Frogs. I could give two about some of these teams, right? Especially in our Philly, Redskins, 49ers, and the Giants. Sorry, I'm never going to be rooting for them. I don't care.
I'm with
Frogs,
you.
Yes.
I'm with you, brother.
I could care less. You know,
Mayfield went to Cleveland. Is that
Cleveland?
Right?
First pick at that, which I call
Manziel and Mayfield. Boy, they've got a great one going here.
He went to the team that's probably drafted more Heisman Trophy winners over the last 10 years than any other team combined.
I don't understand why they can't get it together. They have on paper. They have some great athletes on paper. I don't get it.
It's Cleveland.
Oh God.
Oh. Yeah, it's not like Cleveland in baseball, right, Evan?
Yeah.
Totally different thing altogether.
I've been to a game a baseball game in Cleveland. It wasn't bad, but I wouldn't want to live there.
And therein lies the problem with Cleveland.
Well, I went to a Browns game, and I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. It is a whole new world. Definitely not any place you'd want to take your kids. It was really bad, but fun.
Whole different planet.
Gosh. They're into it. They're the most loyal fans, especially for having. I mean, they didn't even win one game last year, and they're still the most loyal fans ever. So you got to hand it to them.
Loyal or delusional?
Maybe. Delusional.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, hey, we wish the Browns all the luck in the world, but Mayfield, I hope you get sacked every freaking day.
Speaking of fans, Evan, if we can get a bus trip together, we'll ride up to Kannapolis and we'll be your four or five fans in the stands for you.
Well, all right. I appreciate it.
We won't even dress like a seat.
Yeah. Come on, Ryan.
Do us a favor, though, Evan.
I know. That would be fun.
You guys are dressed up as Yoda, man. Take a selfie and post that thing on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. I'll definitely try to get something going for that.
We'll definitely post that out because that's going to be a fun one. Because I keep looking at this jersey, man, and it's just Yoda right across the chest.
That's hilarious.
It's just awesome. That's great.
Evan, you know, your time out there, seriously though, if you ever need anything, don't hesitate. You know, we're part of your Frog family and Killer Frogs. You have a bunch of fans. So, you know, if there's anything struggles you're ever going through or anything you need, don't hesitate in reaching out and asking because we're here for you.
I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
Bats, furniture.
Seriously, ramen noodles. I feel like you might be getting a shipment of furniture here for
Shannon,
you.
Shannon's great recipe for cup of noodles.
I'm telling you.
We're here for you.
You know, we're gonna buy you some purple duct tape and send it to you for those boxes so you can wrap them up and make them nice.
That sounds good.
All right. All right. Well, with that, we're just at about an hour long. So why don't we go ahead and wrap this up? I want to thank everybody who's been listening to us out there. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Google, and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere podcasts can be found. In fact, if you wouldn't mind, just go ahead and reach out to us on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. That helps out the podcast, gets us noticed on Apple's algorithm. And all the fancy black magic that they do to make podcasts known. You can also find us on YouTube. That's where we stream this podcast live every week. We don't typically post out the link ahead of time. Just if you want to join us on Monday nights, just move over to our YouTube channel and go ahead and join us there. You can also join us on killerfrogs.com, and you can sign up for a free account and join us on the forums and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And we do have one new addition. And that made Ryan smile because I remembered. And we have actually a new member of the Killer Frogs family called Frogs Wire. And Ryan, why don't you tell everybody about it?
We're very excited about this. We are one of 10 schools right now who are a part of it. And they're bringing on Texas and Oklahoma. And we made it before those guys.
After us,
they're bringing them on.
We're first.
We were first, yes. And we're up there with Ohio State and several other schools. So this is really exciting. We felt honored that they reached out to us to be a part of this. But what it is, it's you can just Google Frogs Wire and it'll come up. But it's www.frogswire.wordpress.com. And we're affiliated with USA Today. So you just can go there for all your frog news. So we're just basically every day going out and looking at what's going on in the news with all the different sports and compiling it for you to find all in one place. We have lots of built-in live links that'll link you back to TCU and other people who are writing for TCU. So, and then you can also, there's a tab on there that you can click for the Frog Fan Forum. And that, if you've never been on that, it is an experience that you should be a part of if you like that sort of thing. So,
Hey, Evan, did Coach ever warn you guys about going onto our forum while you were playing?
No, I don't think so.
Look at that smile.
Well, no Patterson has. So.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't recall.
Well, did you go on the forum during your 4 years?
I can't say that I did.
That's a good thing. That's probably a good thing. I mean, no one gets a free pass. Even I, being a girl, have never get a free pass on that.
It has nothing to do with the fact that you're a girl.
No, I'm a girl. They don't care.
It has everything to do with the fact that you used to be a cheerleader.
Let me tell you, there it is. Unbeknownst to many people, Evan, you've heard of Dan Jenkins, of course, the famous sports writer. Okay, just say yes. Dan Jenkins is
before his time
in the In American sports writing, he's a legend, okay?
Big time.
Big time, big guy. And he's been on there unbeknownst to a lot of people, and he'll say something and people say, oh, BS, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, to Dan Jenkins, I mean, I'd kiss the guy's feet. He's so knowledgeable and so well-respected in the business.
Whoa.
We've also had a member of the Board of Trustees come on there a couple of times, and the same thing. Oh, BS, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, guys, this is one guy that really does know what he's talking about. you're talking to him like that. But we do get some pretty influential people on there. Nobody knows who they are. I know a couple of them, but just by name. But
names have been changed to protect the innocent.
That's true, and I will. I won't say their names out here loud. But Dan Jenkins, I will, because I thought it was amusing that this guy was telling him he didn't know what he's talking about. But anyway, I said, if you only knew, you just slammed the door. Whose face you just slammed the door in? You'd be feel like an idiot. But anyway, I didn't. But anyway, yeah, we do get some good information on there. Come aboard, be a part of the community. Yeah. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, and you don't have to. No one would have to know who you are. You can write under a pseudonym. Most everybody does.
So. Just call yourself the Intimidator.
Yeah, exactly.
The only crazy people that actually use their real names are Wes.
Wes. I have nothing to hide, my friend.
But that's seriously, true. Though, like, it's the best reading when you're sitting in an airport or if you're riding passenger in a car. You can learn a lot about the TCU fan base, and you get addicted to it. It's pretty addictive. So
you may not want to learn that much about some of them.
But I know. And you know what, Evan, you can search your name, and I bet there's tons of stuff on there about you.
Well, it might either be really good or it might get me fired up, and I might be.
Speaking of searching your name, what's it like to have your own Wikipedia page?
I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, it is pretty short, but it is kind of cool.
So you have seen it? Okay,
just yes, checking. I have. Yeah. Somebody had to show me.
That's neat.
Well, that's awesome. Well, that's awesome.
Well, we've come to the end of the podcast. Evan, thank you so much for sticking with us tonight. We really appreciate you coming on and talking to us. And we hope you have a great rest of the season. Hope you find a bat that you like and keep through the rest of the season. And hope the Intimidators have a good end of 2018.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I had a blast tonight.
Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, buddy.
The Scout Fan Club is right here, my friend. So we're your cheerleaders, your biggest cheerleaders.
Absolutely. So we've come to the end of the podcast, and you all know what time it is. It's time for us to all get our frogs up, and we get to all say,
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs!